This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Good evening. Ahead tonight, in many cases, women are experiencing a bigger challenge from COVID-19 than men. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich gives us details in just a few minutes. Arkansas's one day of measured optimism about declining COVID-19 cases is over as the virus appears in more Arkansans on the eve of a holiday weekend. At today's press briefing, Governor Asa Hutchinson announced a new one-day high in new cases. That is more than double the number of new cases reported in the previous 24-hour monitoring period. 878 new cases today. It also represents a new single high day in community cases. Seven counties are recording 20 or more new cases. Hot Spring County had 151, many of those in a correctional facility. Washington and Benton counties recorded high new case numbers compared to the previous testing period. 117 new cases in Washington County, 75 in Benton County. There were also 55 new cases in Sebastian County and 23 in Crawford County. And Pulaski County in central Arkansas reported 98 new cases. There were two more new deaths in Arkansas. There have now been 279 fatalities related to the virus. As Dr. Nate Smith, Arkansas's Secretary of Health, says, this is obviously not good news. And he says one positive trend reported today, a slight decrease in people with COVID-19 in Arkansas hospitals, could turn around soon as well.
The governor's already mentioned we've had a slight decrease in the number currently hospitalized. We're down to 272, a decrease of 3. Again, this is likely to come up as we're having new cases.
There are more than 6,000 active cases in the state. This morning, Northwest Arkansas healthcare providers issued new criteria for tests conducted by hospitals in Washington and Benton counties out of a concern that current demand for tests in Northwest Arkansas could outstrip capacity and have an impact on the ability to provide timely test results. At today's press briefing, Dr. Smith explained that testing, test results, spread of the virus, and the needs for quarantine can be a bit complicated.
Early on, the amount of virus in the nose, in the nasal secretions, is still low. So if you were to do a test then, early on in infection, it could be negative. Now, by the time someone gets to where they have symptoms, it's very likely that that test would be positive. So if someone comes in and they have symptoms and they test positive, you'd be pretty confident that they're infected. If they test negative, then it's probably something else. Now, if you test someone before they become symptomatic, maybe they've been exposed to someone, and so they come in and they want to get tested, well, the amount of virus may still be pretty low. If you get a positive test, then you know they're infected, and they need to go into isolation, and we need to do a contact tracing on the people they've been in contact with, et cetera. But if that test is negative, it may be just that we haven't gotten enough time for the virus to get up to a detectable level. So if someone who's been exposed to someone, say someone in your family tested positive, you said, well, I want to know, am I infected? So you go and you get a test, it comes back negative. You say, great, I have a negative test result. Well, you still could be infected. And that's why someone in that setting needs to be quarantined for 14 days, because we may have just tested them too early.
Also at today's briefing, the governor, Arkansas's Secretary of State John Thurston, and the leaders of the state's Republican and Democratic parties provided a unified front to announce the state will provide absentee ballots for voters who request one if concerned about COVID-19 and polling locations.
If anyone has a health concern for COVID-19 on Election Day, November 3, then they can request an absentee ballot, be qualified under the law for that absentee ballot, and they will be able to receive and vote in an absentee fashion. I am pleased to say that I am in full agreement with the Secretary of State's interpretation of this, and I fully support that, and we'll work to implement that.
The governor says a concern or fear of going to the polling location is enough of a reason to request an absentee ballot. Secretary of State Thurston says there are deadlines associated with absentee voting.
If you wish to receive a ballot by mail, your application must be received by mail or fax deadline, it is October the 27th. You may still get ballots in person or by a bearer until November the 2nd. And absentee ballots must be received by 7:30 on election day. So when the polls close, if you have an absentee ballot that is not turned in, it will not be accepted.
And there will also be the now standard 2 weeks of early voting opportunities this fall. This is a Thursday edition of Ozarks at Large. Working women are experiencing more negative impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic than working men. That's according to a new research brief by Hema Zamaro at the University of Arkansas. Her co-authored brief sources a survey conducted for the University of Southern California's Understanding Coronavirus in America study. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
Hema Zamaro teaches economic methods for education policy in the Department of Education Reform at the University of Arkansas, but is also an adjunct senior economist at University of Southern California's Center for Economic and Social Research, with USC colleagues Francisco Perez Arce and Maria Prados. She's co-authored a timely research brief titled Gender Differences in the Impact of COVID-19.
Yeah, so you know, for background, so the Understanding Coronavirus in America is a study that has been interviewing a nationally representative sample of Americans every 2 weeks, more or less, during this crisis. In my study, about 6,800 respondents participating from March to June. And they answer surveys through the internet, and then they are compensated for the time for taking the survey, and you can follow the same respondents. They've been doing this every 2 weeks since March.
The surveys were conducted in both English and Spanish with 6,800 respondents every 2 weeks to measure their life experience during the pandemic. Willing subjects with no online access were provided internet connections and tablets. Zamaro says one-third of working mothers in two-parent households report they were the only ones providing care for their children, compared to one-tenth of working fathers.
Depending on respondents having a college degree or higher or not having a college degree. And what we found in terms of the first result is, in terms of employment, women without a college degree are the ones who have suffered the highest drop in employment during this crisis.
Compared to men with college degrees.
I think it's interesting to see that among those with a college degree, we don't see a divide by gender. Both men and women experience the same drops in employment if they had a college degree. So a college degree, in a way, is saving any gender differences in impact. And the drops in employment were much lower than the drops that non-college educated respondents suffer, and especially women.
Zamaro says the pandemic has devastated the service-oriented industry that employs more women in restaurant, hotel, and hospitality sectors, leading to more job losses, she says. Then, as schools and daycares closed, parents have been shouldering full-time child care. The study found that working college-educated mothers experienced reduced working hours compared to women who have no children, and in comparison to men, and the drop in work hours was the greatest among college-educated parents of young children.
It is linked to the care that we see. Women are providing more care even when they are working, and even when they are working from home. So it could be that the way they are doing that is by reducing their hours. And I think that's a result that I worry about a lot, because I think that as this crisis continues, if we see like they are reducing hours, it could be that in the longer term we might start seeing women leaving the labor force.
Traditionally, Zamaro says women have always provided more child care and tended to household chores, although college-educated men are contributing more. But as the pandemic progresses, the survey also reveals higher levels of psychological distress among women with children compared to women without children and compared to men. That's easing now, Zamaro says, with summer. Zamaro, who is working remotely with two children at home, says her objective with this research is to bring attention to emerging work and childcare gender disparities during the pandemic.
I don't know to what extent this is sustainable, like women have been carrying this load, and if this continues for a long time, I don't know, this could have consequences in the long term. I think from the point of view of employers, also to realize we are fortunate to be able to work at home, but it's not like I can work at home the same.
As many states reopen, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is reporting a possible second wave of new COVID-19 infection this fall, which could keep schools and child care centers closed.
We don't know yet what will happen in the fall with these places, and these are important not only from the point of view of education, but because they provide care for kids, and that helps a lot of working parents. So as we want the economy to move, we also need to think about solutions that we could put in place so we can get parents to work.
Zamaro says if these trends persist, gender inequality could rise. You can find a link to Zamaro's research as well as the USC study on our news web. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Oklahoma State Department of Health this morning is reporting an additional 6 deaths from COVID-19. Nearly 400 Oklahomans have died from the virus. Earlier today, Northwest Arkansas healthcare providers released a statement regarding testing in the region. The statement quotes Washington Regional President and CEO Larry Shackelford, who says there's a real concern in the healthcare community that the current demand for testing will exceed capacity and impact healthcare providers' ability to provide timely test results needed to provide critical care services for patients with acute health issues. Healthcare leaders are also concerned about the number of patients in the region's COVID-19 units. That's why the regional healthcare community is outlining its new testing priorities, which include the following criteria: symptomatic individuals, household contacts of confirmed positive COVID-19 individuals, asymptomatic healthcare workers who have been exposed or possibly exposed, any individual identified by the rest of the Arkansas Health Department for exposure, and lastly, preoperative patients. The Northwest Arkansas Healthcare Providers Group includes Arkansas Children's Northwest, Community Clinic, Mercy, Northwest Health System, Washington Regional Medical Center, UAMS Northwest, and the Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks. The 2022 election is more than 2 years away, but we do have a new candidate for governor in Arkansas for that election cycle. Arkansas's Attorney General Leslie Rutledge says she will seek the Republican Party nomination in 2022. Rutledge is term limited in her job as Attorney General. Arkansas's current governor, Asa Hutchinson, also facing term limits and cannot seek a third term. And Arkansas's current Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin had already announced that he is an official candidate for the GOP nomination as well. The National Weather Service's excessive heat warning for much of the Arkansas River Valley and much of eastern Oklahoma continues. It remains in effect until 8 tonight. There is a heat advisory for northwest Arkansas until 8. It's expected to be hot again tomorrow, not quite as hot perhaps. Highs tomorrow from 90 to 96 across the region. Heat index values tomorrow afternoon around 105 in the Arkansas River Valley and eastern Oklahoma.
The Scott Family Amazium provides online, interactive, hands-on making and tinkering activities for the entire family at Amazium YOU. New experiences are added frequently on YouTube under Scott Family Amazium and on the Amazium U page at amazium.org. Details are available at amazium.org. The Rave Cultural Foundation presents Black and White this Saturday, July 4th from 3 to 4 p.m. This online contemporary Carnatic music concert explores the coexistence of all things black and white in our lives and the contrasts they provide. Tickets and information available at raveculturalfoundation.org.
The first meeting of the reconstituted Fayetteville Board of Public Health was held yesterday afternoon online to establish rules and procedures and to set an agenda to respond to the coronavirus health crisis in the city. Qualifications and responsibilities for a Board of Health officer, not yet hired, were discussed, then tabled. Dr. Huda Sharaf voiced the first resolution on the agenda for approval.
Resolution affirming the city of Fayetteville is in a state of epidemic. And the sample that was given was on the basis of the best epidemiological reporting and analysis available to Fayetteville Board of Health, and in accordance with all relevant ordinances and statutes, the board hereby affirms there is an infectious disease epidemic within its jurisdiction.
Yeah, I think that affirming the reason for having the board reconstituted is an important
first step.
Responding there was the chair of the committee, Dr. Hershey Garner. The board then affirmed and discussed Fayetteville's mask ordinance, which was enacted last month by the city council and requires residents to wear masks in public. Mayor Lionel Jordan said the city has distributed 75,000 free disposable masks so far, of 205,000 purchased by the city. The discussion then turned to reusable cloth masks. Again, the discussion led by Dr. Sharaf.
So what might be a better way as far as money spent is to basically maybe start passing out, you know, double cloth masks, maybe with a Fayetteville logo on it, or, you know, I wear this for you, or whatever the case may be, but at least those they could reuse and launder, because at some point they're going to have to be held responsible for getting their own masks. Because the other issue that we're going to face with the surge is that we're going to start having a difficult time finding PPE again.
The board agreed to investigate a public-private partnership to manufacture Fayetteville-branded reusable cloth masks to distribute to coincide with a citywide mask campaign. Dr. Sharaf, a medical liaison between the University of Arkansas Chancellor's Office and the Arkansas Department of Health, said securing guidance from the state about safely opening campus this fall has been difficult. She says she will continue to press the state, but that Fayetteville's health board is equipped to control behavior in the city to prevent coronavirus spread, building on the mayor's recent efforts, to which the mayor responded.
Well, somebody's got to do something. So I'm going to do something, even if it might not be exactly right, but...
It'll be right, Mayor. Don't worry.
And so, yeah.
This is my first pandemic as well, in this regards, anyways.
To be honest, I think I can speak for all of us when it says it makes us proud. It makes us proud that you did something. I sit on a lot of committees and a lot of meetings, let me tell you, over here, and a lot of people don't want to be held accountable.
The voices we heard after Mayor Jordan were City Attorney Kit Williams, Dr. Gary Berner with Community Clinic, and Dr. Huda Sharaf. The board agreed that a formal letter will be issued inviting the governor to hold a daily press briefing regarding the virus in Fayetteville this summer. Mayor Jordan told the board he's reached out to the governor on numerous occasions for approval on pandemic procedures, but has received no response. The next virtual meeting of the Fayetteville Board of Health is scheduled for July 15th at 5 p.m. The public is welcome to attend, but must register with the city.
Time now for another edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Paul Gatling here with you. What is it like to start your own commercial real estate firm during a pandemic? We will ask that question to Clinton Bennett. He's a longtime Northwest Arkansas commercial real estate broker, and earlier this year, he opened Bennett Commercial Real Estate in Rogers. That interview, plus a rundown of recent business headlines from NWABusinessJournal.com, are on the way after the break on this edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. First Security. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Clinton Bennett's work in Northwest Arkansas's commercial real estate market dates back to 2004. And in 2012, he opened the state's first licensed CBRE affiliate office in Fayetteville. Earlier this year, Bennett resigned from CBRE to start his own real estate firm, Bennett Commercial Real Estate, with an office in Rogers. Bennett said despite the COVID-19 pandemic, he feels fortunate to be working in Northwest Arkansas, especially in the commercial real estate industry.
You know, there's a lot of interest in commercial real estate, and we have a lot of growing businesses despite the pandemic. So our clients certainly they're concerned about their businesses and they're trying to proceed cautiously, but there's still a lot of demand here. So I feel like it's a pretty good time to start a business. You know, we saw many started in the last recession that, and I've even told other people, peers and other people in the industry, you know, sometimes a downturn is a pretty good time to start a business. Mm-hmm. And the reality is I don't know that this is going to end up being a tremendous downturn for us. I think we're certainly going to see some adjustments, but all in all, I'm generally optimistic about the direction of this market.
Right. And as far as demand goes, we've seen that come to fruition with a couple of deals you've already been involved in with your new firm. You were represented at an investment group of which you are a part of that acquired the Northwest Arkansas Business Center in Lowell for, you know, about $13 million. It's a three-building office park, almost fully occupied. You know, Transplace is the major tenant there. I think most people would know them as being the major tenant of that office park. Why was that an attractive asset for your group that you're involved in?
Well, that one just really goes back to real estate 101. I mean, we feel like that's kind of the old location. That building is in the center of the market. We feel like there are a lot of infrastructure improvements in Northwest Arkansas that are going to continue to reinforce that as the center of the market. You know, 612, the expansion to the airport, the expansion west into Tiny Town, the fact that 49 is, you know, you just can't overstate the importance of 49 as it relates to the value of any kind of real estate in this market. We just looked at that as fundamentally a great location, and we saw it as a competitive price for the building. I mean, it costs $250 to $300 a foot to build new buildings today when you factor land development and construction costs. And, you know, we're going to have an investment of about $120 a foot in that building. Right. So we feel like we're in a very competitive location at a competitive price. And our hope is to be able to offer a really compelling value to the people that need office space.
Right. And to me, what it even underscores, even besides all of that, you know, you've heard too, some of the chatter of the past couple of months is that one effect of COVID-19 and social distancing will make remote working or working from home more of a standard practice than an outlier. And here you are investing in office buildings. You know, what do you see there as far as your lasting impacts in the office market?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's no doubt that we are going to see change and an evolution in the office leasing space. I think it's too early for anyone to really be able to tell exactly how that the demand evolves and how office use evolves because of the pandemic. You know, I think there's going to be an impact. I think we'll see more people working from home. I think it'll play a bigger role in the way companies operate their businesses with their employees. But I also think we had seen a trend towards very dense office spaces. And I think you're going to see that trend reverse. I think you'll see fewer bodies in each space. So you'll see the workspace kind of spread out a little bit.
Talking about larger office plates too there, right?
That's right. That's right. So I think I hate to say it's a net nothing, but I think that the spreading out of the office environment will offset some of the work from home that you're going to see. I think a lot of people still want to go to the office, and I think businesses are going to have to operate offices. I mean, culture and engagement, and there are a lot of ancillary benefits that come from, you know, working day to day close to your coworkers and bosses and employees and peers.
We are, you know, we're just past the midpoint of the year. I know you don't have a crystal ball, and just like everybody else doesn't, but, you know, what is your economic assessment of Northwest Arkansas for the remainder of the year? And you and I have talked about this beforehand. You know, investors maybe still think of this region as a safe haven right now, kind of like we've always thought of this region of being, you know, recession-proof, maybe the term that we've used, and just kind of being in a bubble as far as what's going on in the rest of the country. Is this a safe haven for investors right now?
You know, I think in a way it is. I think our real estate market will mirror the stock market in a way. I've been shocked by how strong the stock market has remained. And I think what it is, my take on that is, you know, sophisticated investors are looking a long way out. They're not looking at what's going to happen in the next 3 to 6 to 12 months. And I believe that the real estate investors that we're dealing with have a similar view. my personal opinion is I think we're going to see some challenges the next 3 to 6 months. I mean, I have concerns. I think our economy may have some headwinds related to the pandemic for the near term. But I think the investors like what we're seeing, investors in the stock market, and I'm aware that could change. But the investors we're dealing with are really looking 2, 5, 10 years out in this market. And when you're looking through that lens at that time frame, this still looks like a very compelling opportunity. I think there's this real sense that if you don't get in, prices are just going to keep going up.
Right.
So you got to be careful about that. I mean, you can't just assume that all the time. But the trends are showing us that with the population increase here, I mean, we don't see values going down.
Bennett Commercial Real Estate has 4 full-time employees, including Bennett, and 1 intern. He said the company's focus is on high-quality deals that put clients in a position to be profitable. We talked about one of those deals, the business center acquisition in Lowell. Bennett was also involved on the buyer's side last month of a $6.5 million all-cash land acquisition of 74 acres in Rogers. You can read more about that at nwabusinessjournal.com. In other news this week, Mercy Hospital in Rogers has been named to the Fortune IBM Watson Health 100 Top Hospitals list. This is the 2nd year in a row Mercy has been recognized with the honor as one of the top-performing hospitals in the U.S. The annual list was unveiled at Fortune.com on Tuesday. A Fayetteville startup headed by entrepreneur John James that raised millions in venture capital has mysteriously disappeared. Computer software startup Engine is no longer accessible through its website, and several company employees now list themselves as former employees on LinkedIn. James has not responded to requests for comment, but a source familiar with Engine, who declined to be quoted directly, said the company had a funding round fall through just as the COVID-19 pandemic arrived. And if you are in the market to buy a turnkey restaurant, there's a steakhouse in Rogers available. Mr. B Steakhouse is for sale. Chef Bruce Barnes, a.k.a. Mr. B, and his wife Pamela Barnes are the owners, and they are planning to retire. That's according to business broker Eric Harris. They are hoping a buyer will be able to carry on the brand. Until then, the restaurant does remain open with curbside and dine-in service, limited seating, of course. The dine-in service is Thursday through Saturday and does require a reservation. For those stories and more, visit us on the web at nwabusinessjournal.com, where you'll find our reporting on business and political news each and every day. And that's all the time we have for today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.
This is Ozarks at Large, and we have more music for you. In a few minutes, Leah Uribe with a new edition of Sound Perimeter, expanding our musical boundaries. Before that, though, I'm welcoming Timothy Dennis back to Ozarks at Large for a chance to talk about live music opportunities. Timothy, this is something we used to do once a week. We haven't done it for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done it. Middle of March was the last time we did this. And the last time that we did this kind of preview, there were more than 70 shows scheduled over the week that we covered. For the entire month of July, it was difficult to find 15 shows that are scheduled as of this moment.
And that's right. I'm glad you brought that up, because usually when we did this, it was about what was coming up over the next few days. This is what's coming up over July.
Now, I will say that there are new restrictions that everyone should follow if they're going to go to any of these events. According to the State Department of Health, performers need to be 12 feet from audience members. Most events are limited to 50 attendees or fewer unless there's a specific plan approved by the health department. Social distancing or physical distancing must be observed in lines or queues and in seating. Family groups can sit together, but those groups must be 6 feet apart. Face coverings are required for attendees, except for children under the age of 10. Performers must also wear face coverings unless they're more than 12 feet apart. And finally, if you're sick or not feeling well, just stay home.
And I'll add the caveat, you know, we're talking about these events. Go if you want with these restrictions. Don't go. Just You know, that's up to you.
Right. And if you want to know more about the specific restrictions and directives, you can visit the state health department's website at healthy.arkansas.gov.
Okay.
Now, to get on to music. Spaceberry is taking place this weekend, although it's kind of taking a different form this year.
Heavy emphasis on the word space.
Yes. They're doing it as a contactless event. They're featuring three bands each night. Everyone must wear a face mask upon arrival and when using restroom facilities. Scheduled performers for the weekend, Friday night, Opal Agafier, Forgotten Space, and Try More Mojo will be on stage. Then Saturday night, Friends of the Family, Arkansas, and Deep Sequence are going to perform.
I'll steal your face again, just to find where I began. I don't care to elaborate, I'm just seeing how much more I can take. It's a gamble either way, if I kick my habits, earn an honest wage.
You can purchase a spot for your car and your group that comes with you, up to five people. There's no camping, no pets, but there will be fireworks each evening. Tickets start at $45. Gets underway at about 7 o'clock each night. Again, that's at the farm in Eureka Springs tomorrow night and Saturday night. Okay, so let's skip ahead to next week. Saturday, July 11th, up in Rogers at Moonbrock, Jenna and the Soul Shakers will be on stage. If you don't know who they are, they're a local band that does kind of soul, funk, some classic songs as well. That gets underway at 8 o'clock. Again, that's Saturday, July 11th at Moonbrock in Rogers. Now, kind of an afternoon show that day, down at Ozark Folkways in Winslow, they're going to have the Ashton Barbary Trio.
Backing up under the bar lights, darkness gets done for the night. Johnny Allen, bad luck next time. The lady walks up, buttoning a coat, she said, I just want to thank you. Thank you.
We love them.
That afternoon show gets underway at 3 o'clock again at Ozark Folkways in Winslow, Saturday, July 11th. Then the next day, Sunday, July 12th, The Momentary is going to continue their virtual concert series with Dori Freeman. She's a Virginia-based singer-songwriter. She'll perform gospel, old country, and plenty of originals with her husband from their living room on The Momentary's Facebook and YouTube channels. That will take place at 3 p.m. Sunday, July 12th. Again, that's at The Momentary's Facebook and YouTube feeds. Moving on to Thursday, July 23rd. As of now, George's Majestic Lounge has on their schedule that The Candid, Makin' Loaf, and The Traveling Squirrels will be on stage.
I must have no value.
Tickets for that show are $8. Should get underway at 7:30 Thursday, July 23rd. Again, that's at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville.
And we should add that caveat that, right, all of these things we're talking about, the later you get in the month, they're scheduled, but you'll want to check before you go.
Okay, moving on to the next day, Friday, July 24th, Creekside Tap Room in Siloam Springs is going to have Emily Rowland on stage. It'll be an outside patio show. Mm-hmm. That set gets underway at 7 o'clock. Again, that's Friday, July 24th at Creekside Tap Room in Siloam Springs. Also that day and the next day, actually, the Peacemaker Fest gets underway at Riverside Park in Fort Smith.
Another outdoor venue.
Exactly. This year, they'll feature Whiskey Myers, Coey Wetzel, Hold My Beer and Watch This, which is Randy Rogers and Wade Bowen, The Band of Heathens, Reed Southall Band, Muscadine, Bloodline, and more.
Got those eyes that'll bring you to your knees. It's her smile like some days. Been a while, but one day, yeah, that girl, she's the only thing I need.
Tickets are $50 for two-day general admission passes. VIP goes up from there. Gets underway at 5 p.m. that Friday, July 24th, and then 3 p.m. Saturday, July 25th. Again, that's the Peacemaker Festival at Riverside Park in Fort Smith.
If you go to their website, they have all sorts of information about hand sanitizing, mask wearing, all of that.
Exactly. Then that Sunday, July 26th, Simeon Basil is set to be at 612 Coffee House in Fayetteville off of Weddington Drive. That show gets underway at 7 o'clock that Sunday night. Again, that's July 26th at 612 Coffee House in Fayetteville. And then finally, on Wednesday, July 29th, Fayetteville Public Library is going to have a virtual concert with the Sugar-Free All-Stars.
Oh, fun!
Well, come on! Bright lights and a sold-out crowd. It's hard to hear because they're screaming so loud. The air is electric, it may overload. They call my name and pyrotechnics explode.
If you don't know who they are, they're listed as one of Time Magazine's top 12 family music acts in America. That will be on the FPL Facebook page. Gets underway at 2 o'clock that Wednesday, which is July 29th. So that's pretty much all of the stuff that's scheduled, although there are a few other things I'd like to let people know about. Prairie Street Live, they've been holding some concert films and live music as well. If you want to know more about what they're doing, it's off of Prairie Street, kind of near downtown Fayetteville. You can follow their Facebook page. Also, Maxine's Tap Room is starting to add some live music to their Friday virtual happy hours. Tomorrow's, on July 3rd, will actually feature Dylan Earl and The Reasons Why, with some other local favorite bands performing on the channel throughout the month. And then there are several bands still doing virtual shows on their individual Facebook or Instagram channels. If you see them, you know, tune in, support them if you're able, because live music, it doesn't look like it's going to return to normal for quite a while.
All right. I don't know if I'm going to see any of these. I'm still kind of staying at home in the couch. But I will tell you, I am, as much as I can, supporting venues and musicians in the area because they do need it, and they're hurting just like so many others. So hang in there. And again, check on these before you go. And hopefully, Timothy, we'll have enough music to talk about soon enough to where we're doing this every week again.
I'll drink to that, Kyle.
Okay, very good. Timothy Dennis with us. And thanks, Timothy.
Thank you, Kyle. Always been. Must be the shape that I'm in. I've been too far gone for far too long until now.
This is Leah Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with sound perimeter. Have you heard of saudade? Saudade is a Portuguese term, one of the most beautiful words in the entire world, yet without an English equivalent. Saudade is a feeling, an emotion, a sense of loneliness and incompleteness. It is used to say that you miss someone or something from the past or from the future. I am experiencing saudade for live music, for being on a stage, for connecting with my audiences. Thankfully, I can communicate with you through Sound Perimeter. Sound Perimeter started today with Baquianas Brasileiras No. 5 for soprano and cello ensemble, a piece written between 1938 and 1945 by Brazilian composer Heitor Villa-Lobos. This was performed by soprano Arlene Auger with the 12th cellist of the Berlin Philharmonic. After the introductory wordless melody we listened to, the soprano then sings a brief declamatory setting of a poem in which she compares the moon emerging in the sky to a pretty girl, shouting her demands to nature, and then awakening the cruel saudade, or melancholic longing. Thank you. Then the initial wordless melody comes back, this time hummed, taking this Bachiana Brasileira to an evocative and poignant close. That was Bachianas Brasileiras No. 5 for soprano and cello orchestra by Brazilian composer Heitor Villa-Lobos, performed by Arlene Auger with the 12th cellist of the Berlin Philharmonic. If you, like me, are having saudade for live music, Brazilian bossa novas, sambas, boleros, jazz, don't look any further. Los Veleros, a locally based group, is bringing Latin American rhythms, jazz, and pop to Northwest Arkansas. Los Veleros' lineup is out of this world. Arkansas native Garrett Jones on the bass, who has performed for national and international touring acts, including the official Blues Brothers Review, also a regular performer with the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra. Percussionist Fernando Valencia, well-known educator, composer, arranger, and freelance musician originally from Colombia, who is also the director, arranger of the University of Arkansas Latin American Ensemble. William Regis, guitarist, who has been performing for the Northwest Arkansas community for over 20 years and is currently an instructor for the University of Arkansas Community Music School as well and as a professional composer and arranger. And Alicia Patillo, half Australian, half English, saxophonist, raised in Singapore, who is now residing in our town, and who, aside from performing, shares her passion for music in the form of teaching private lessons and recording for various studio projects. Let us listen to Los Veleros interpreting The Girl from Ipanema, a Brazilian bossa nova written in 1962 by Antonio Carlos Jobim and Vinicius de Moraes.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. E ela, menina que vem, que passa. Num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do som de Ipanema. O céu balança e mais que poema. E a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah,
the words in this song refer to a young woman, a mixture of flower and mermaid, full of light and grace, the sight of whom is also sad, in that she carries with her on her route to the sea the feeling of youth that fades, of the beauty that is not ours alone. It is a gift of life in its beautiful and melancholic constant ebb and flow. That is
saudade.
Just listened to an excerpt from the Brazilian bossa nova The Girl from Ipanema, interpreted by Northwest Arkansas-based group Los Veleros, William Carlos Reyes, guitar and vocals, Alicia Patillo, tenor sax, Fernando Valencia, percussion, and Garrett Jones, double bass. I leave you today with a complex yet simple definition of saudade by Portuguese writer Manuel de Melo. Saudade is a pleasure you suffer, an ailment you enjoy. This is Leah Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter.
Tomorrow on Ozarks, we continue to track how the coronavirus is affecting our region. Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics will be with us to discuss the week's news. And Becca Martin Brown, the features editor for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, will explain there are a few fireworks displays scheduled this year, but like everything else this summer, there are some changes to how and where you can experience them. A Friday edition of Ozarks at Large, tomorrow at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Green Forest. 91.3 KUAF is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3 KUAF. Contributors to this Thursday evening edition of Ozarks included Jacqueline Froelich, who also provided information and sound from the Fayetteville City Board of Health meeting, Timothy Dennis, and Leah Uribe. Timothy also mastered our show tonight. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal with Paul Gatling is part of our partnership with Talk Business and Politics. Zuzanna Sitek also provided assistance with the production of tonight's show. We will be back with a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large tomorrow at noon and 7. We'll also have weekend Ozarks at Large Sunday morning at 9. You can always download our free podcast by going to any of the major podcast distributors, or you can ask your smart speaker to play Ozarks at Large and hear the most recent daily edition of our program. Also, individual stories and interviews, as well as full shows, available at ozarksatlarge.com. From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio, I'm Kyle Kellums. Be well. Talk to you soon.